Hi, this is Tom Payne, otherwise known as Jesus from The Walking Dead, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through.
Hey guys, it's Jenna Elfman from Fear the Walking Dead. I play Laura. No, I play Naomi. No, I play June. I play June on Fear the Walking Dead, and you're listening to the Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through.
That was awesome.
Survivors, and welcome to episode 61 of Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And I'm Mark.
And I realize that I don't have to do that thing anymore, so I'm not going to do it anymore, because we don't do it on Star Trek Discovery. So why do the little thing before we do the other thing? So, anyway... for episode 61, we will be discussing season 5, episode 10 of Fear the Walking Dead, which is titled 210 Words Per Minute. But before we get started, I want to just let everybody know, thank you for all the good wishes and congratulations that we got over the last week for getting talkthroughmedia.com running. I want to say, for the most part, the transition has been smooth, and most everybody picked up the audio from the new place. So just looking at the stats, we did, you know, get some people that got it from the old site, but that's understandable. But this will solely be on talkthroughmedia.com. And if you go to walkingdeadtalkthrough.com, you'll get to us as well. So, and one thing we didn't really do a good job of last week, and that is giving a big thank you to Laura for our graphics. So thank you, Laura.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you, Laura.
She really did a good job. So
yeah, yes, amazing, awesome. Amazing work. And and quick too. I mean, she knocked those out really, you know, in short order. So again, it really shows when you have someone who's got design talent, the amount of work that they can do, because she was able to give us those graphics and much faster than I could do them. So anyway, so before we get started with 210 words per minute, we've got some additional feedback for season 5, episode 9, titled Channel 4. So let's play Simon and Rick.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
Okay, so we've got some feedback from our good friend Aaron from the internet, who, by the way, said she's fine with editing for time. So I was glad to hear that. All right, so to start it off, let's go with Mark.
Well, she first starts off saying, I'm a sucker for Al, so I'd say weak gives this competition to me. But on the whole, I think my top three post-Madison episodes would be Channel 4, Week, The End of Everything. Pretty cool. She continues on saying, I give the current top spot to Channel 4 because I do love that camera filter. Oh, it was so nice not to see muted colors in this world. I do agree. It's nice when it's nice and open and rich. Also, it felt the most like old Fear, and Week is a character-centric piece, so by a small degree, the current top spot goes to Channel 4, I'd say. And she adds on, I love Daniel, quote-unquote, that is not music.
That is not music. And, of course, Sarah would disagree.
All right. Well, she continues on. She says, sadly, Mark, I've seen they've forgotten Luciana can do more than just stand around. This is why I worry about her as one of the next to go, because they aren't using her skill set that was set up previously. A scout is just as useful as fighters, yet what is she doing? Sitting in the back? I know she's injured, and honestly, they would have been a better reason to say why she had to stay back, but still, she's not incapable of doing anything. As we saw, she handed John ammo, so why couldn't she make noise on the other side of the house to lure them that way instead of just waiting to be told what to do, as it were?
Yeah, it's like they've forgotten that she was, you know, a scout for the Colonia. And, you know, she came on. I would say that she was one of the highlights of 2B. And ever since then, she's just not been the same kind of character. And it seems like they keep her around just for whatever reason. I don't know. Yeah. And, you know, now we know she was injured at the start of the season. What's her state at this point? Is she still injured? We don't know exactly how much time has passed. I'm guessing maybe a month, 2 months, yeah, something like that.
Yeah. I mean, obviously I'm assuming she's with Wendell and the kids, and so she's probably taking care of the kids, but of course we don't see any of that yet.
Well, she wasn't last week, but we don't, I mean, this week, well, I have a whole section on this week. All right. So anyway, she continues. She says, my what sauce is, where did Al get the extra cameras, tapes, and batteries to pull off this documentary? As far as we've seen, she's only had one camera and the battery pack of Eternal Life with a few tapes. So where did the new stuff come from? Well, I'll just stop there. It came from the big spot. And at one point last week, I called it the big stop. But then I think I called it one place the big stop and two other places the big spot. But anyway, it's the big spot, which is a big box store that was referenced in The Walking Dead season 4. And I think they may have mentioned it besides that, but that's the only time we'd seen them go there. Also, is this Luciana's new job now? Associate producer? If she can hold a camera, she can hold binoculars and a gun. Remember, Scout Luciana writers. Yeah. Then she also says, Alicia is Morgan's Padawan. I think she was referencing to something you said, Mark. And her response is, no!
Like Vader?
I would agree with that. I was really, over the week, thinking again about her role in the last episode. And I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out if that's sincere. Like, you know, she did go through quite a bit at the treehouse there, but I don't know. I don't know if that is something she's actually trying to do, if she's trying to convince herself, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know. But anyway, let's continue.
She continues on saying, I agree with Kyle. I don't know how much Alicia believes in what she's saying. I do wonder how much almost dying in her mind from the radiated zombie splash is affecting her. Like, had she not been splashed, would she be freaking out like this? Alicia pre-season 4 was one who would do what it took to protect her family, but would rather avoid zombies if she could help it so. I can't say for me this is a totally shocking twist. Again, I think almost dying in her mind has freaked her out. We don't know what was going on in her head after all between the kid rescue and running into Grace for that silly shower. I added the silly. So she wants to find some calm and peace again, and she thinks finding the tree creator can do that for her. And then she says, I'm with Brian. I can't see this lasting because it does put her in danger. But I can see her being slow to kill right now for dramatic moments because she's kind of refocusing, if you will. I know some may say she's the last Clark, so what does she have to lose in the regard? But just because she's the last Clark, it doesn't mean she has a death wish.
All right, and she continues, here's another what sauce moment. Where's Al editing platform? Exactly. Does she have a computer of undying battery too? Because otherwise those tapes would have to have markers on them saying part one at 5 minutes and 21 seconds, insert part six. And no one is going to do that for their message. So how did she edit that thing and how is she going to make copies to leave other places? Good question, but... I don't think we're supposed
old,
to know.
Old school cassette mixtapes.
It's like reel to reel, but she has two cameras and like dubbing it maybe. I don't know.
It's two VCRs, a hope and a prayer.
Or VCR TV and then a camera on the VCR making new tape. And
with undying batteries. So
there are ways to do it, but the quality is going to eventually become hideous. Yeah. But... Yeah, the one thing that I am taken aback by is the amount of time that it would take for those tapes to progress across enough people actually hearing it, because you'd have to go to the gas stations or wherever they're planting them to listen to them. And in real life, in a real life apocalypse, I should say, I would think that would take years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the number of people would trickle in like over the course of years. It wouldn't be like, oh, someone heard my tape today. Oh, they heard it yesterday too. It wouldn't be like that. It would be very distanced.
Yeah.
So,
but again, we're supposed to suspend disbelief because
I'm like, trying.
I know, but you know, they had a generator that was running the power for the so-called tape and VCR TV, whatever thing. Yeah. But yeah, you're right. It's like, are these people like, why aren't they just running into them in the road? Cause they seem to be all around everywhere and these tapes.
Yeah. They have a Mac and iMovie or something.
Yeah. Apple is the key to the zombie apocalypse.
The other thing I have to say with that is that video editing was not what it is today, 9 years ago. So
tell me about it.
You know.
I was one.
Yes. 10 years ago. The technology but even 9 years ago wasn't what it was. And I know because I took some of that in school, even, you know, earlier than that. And I would expect you, if you were having to edit VHS tapes or, you know, whatever, that making VHS tapes, it would be much like I was having to do at school in 1996 and 97. Anyway.
All right. Well, she goes on and says, why did they go there? Cool shot, Brian. And so you'll be scared they could take out the good guys easily. As Logan said, they have more bullets than they know what to do with. In reality, however, that makes no sense, as you never know what's coming next. So one shot to the tire and taking the gas and you're good.
Yeah. Suspension of disbelief is...
the name of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She continues, yes, team, bring back Madison always. Big smiley face. I actually think Kim would come back for the fans and some cast members, mainly Alicia and Coleman. But yeah, business-wise, the studio would have to pay up to get her after what went down with her exit because Gimple did her dirty. Yeah, it's... I would say that it's not just that. It's like I say, I think she's signed up for a USA Network series. And, you know, she's been doing other things. So, you know, it's not just like She's just sitting there waiting by the phone.
Right, right.
Right?
Yeah, she's got things to do.
But you never know. It's always possible. But man, would it be shocking if she ended up coming back at the end of the season or something. Sadly, she probably won't ever be back. But I'm still going to keep up the chant because while Gimple may have issues with her, we all love her and she deserves to feel that love. I'm going to stop you right there because I wonder if it was Gimple. But I also wonder if it was AMC. Like I've said this before, it reeks of focus groups. It reeks of them doing surveys of Madison and maybe like halfway through season three or something like that. And I think, I mean, Mark, you and I know one person in particular, and of course, actually, we all know Ruthie, and she can't stand Madison. And
yeah,
there's a lot of people like that. Like she rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, and she, I think, came a long way through season three for people that weren't like 100% behind her character. I think she won people over, but you know, maybe that decision was made long before season three finished. And then again, there were still some people after season three that still weren't really loving that character. So that's why I say, like, the people that loved Madison really loved Madison, but unfortunately, not everyone did. And that's the sucky part about it. Yeah. But,
well, and that's the thing. I wasn't really always on board with her. I think even my comments, I would be like, make like just some of the decisions or just how she was written. But it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, in hindsight, it's like, go back and watch season three after we've already watched, obviously, season four and now part of five. And season three and how she is and what she's doing and the things that she does, it's almost kind of like I have a better appreciation for her and her character. It's really almost like night and day of what at the time how I felt about her to now. It's like she that was a great character.
Yeah. I'm not 100% sure of this. I'd have to go back and actually listen, but I think that one of the very first times that I used one of my signature sound effects was with Madison in season two when she turned on the hotel lights. And if you don't know what that sound effect is, you're going to hear it later. That's all I'll say as a little tease. But that was the thing. She would do these like stupid things. Like you get on her good side, or, you know, she'd start to win you over and then she'd do these stupid things that would really, you know, get your goat, so to speak, or at least got mine. And, so anyway, she was considered by a lot of people to be cold. And anyway, not everybody loved her is what I'm saying, Aaron. And I know you did. And I ended up loving her too, but I don't think I always did. And it's just, that's what I think happened. That's what I honestly think happened is AMC and stupid focus groups. And they just happened to get some focus groups that didn't like Madison. And that was it. They did her over. They were trying to figure out how to improve the show. And that was something that came up with a focus group. Now, I don't know if this is true or not, but I do know that I got some surveys about Fear the Walking Dead at one point. I forget how, but I did. And I responded positively, but I remember they specifically asked about Madison's character. That's why I think that's what happened. So anyway, that's what I think happened. But I can't prove it. And you know what? It could be one of those things that, you know, 20 years from now, when they write the Walking Dead companion. You know, I'm thinking of like the various Star Trek books that have been written over the years, of where we'll hear some of the dirty laundry of Walking Dead stuff. And we will. I guarantee you those books will come out at some point.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, we'll finally know the real story, but that's probably 10 years away. Mm-hmm. So anyway, continuing, she says, what I mean by episodes like this is first and foremost, just have the group mingle more instead of mainly Morgan Grace stuff. Give me Grace and June, since they both have a foot in medical situations. Give me Alicia and Dwight to see what that would be like. John and Strand went over well before, so how about a repeat of that? Al and Daniel, Wendell and Luciana, because who knows more about being handicapped from your previous skills than him? Sarah and Dwight, just mix it up like they had here, so the group feels organic versus static like they have been, because it's mainly Morgan, Alicia stuff this season, or John and June, or Morgan and Grace, but all right.
Well, she continues on saying, again, more filming where you can see things. I know this is a dirt-filled world, but when they wash clothes, would it kill the series to show not muted colors? And I'll say that in a Chandler Bing kind of way. Would it kill the series to show not muted colors?
they don't wear that out a little bit.
They don't have to be bright, highlighted, highlighter gear straight off the shelf, but something more than just washed out tones. Al got to help Morgan with the bomb because of her history, which was great, and we saw June check on Grace because of her medical training. So let's see Alicia be voice of logic again, like she was in early seasons, because she can be just as inspirational as they think Morgan is. For the love of respect towards her, can we get Luciana doing at least 3 scout activities in 3 various episodes before you kill her off, writers? Don't let Luciana be remembered as just Nick's girlfriend. Basically, give me seasons 1 to 3 of this series, but depressingly, Madison isn't there. Have Morgan part of the group, but stop pushing him as a leader of the group. He can talk majority of the time because I know Gimple thinks he's an upgrade from Madison, but don't be scared to let silver-tongued Strand have some scenes, or Daniel or John or Alicia.
All right, and then last she continues, would I mind another found tape episode? Personally, no, but I agree it doesn't need to be in the season. Again, what I mean by like this episode is just season 1 through 3, but with this group where everyone gets to showcase skills and they have organic conflict at times, but also bond, and while one character seems a leader, they don't speak for everyone at times. You can do this by maybe Morgan say something to someone out in the field, but when he gets back, people let him have it because his choice wasn't theirs. Hopefully that makes sense. It does. Also, sadly, let's be real. If it was Madison doing the trees, they wouldn't look that pretty. She would have very direct messages telling people where to go and saying, don't make her kill you when you get there. Ha. That's kind of funny. That's she would just be like, just to the point.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Aaron, for your feedback, and we'll get some more for this week. So, speaking of this week, it is season 5, episode 10, titled 210 words per minute. And I'm so glad that wasn't typing at 210 words per minute.
Yeah.
Written by Ian Goldberg and Andrew Chambliss, and directed by, and of course, those guys are the co-show runners, directed by Ron Underwood. And I had to look this guy up, and boy, was I surprised about him. I thought I had maybe heard his name, and I was right. He has been directing a very long time, and he has been involved in several things that you've heard of. In fact, a classic science fiction slash apocalyptic type thing that you may have heard of called Tremors. He was a director of Tremors. He also directed City Slickers, which that was what Jack Palance, he won an Oscar and a Golden Globe for that role. In addition to that, he's directed some other movies that you've probably heard of. Heart and Souls, Speechless. You may know Mighty Joe Young, Mark, although that's not King Kong, but that reminds me of King Kong.
Well, it's all kaiju.
The Adventures of Pluto Nash. And then I think in 2005, he transitioned to TV directing. That's when it seems like we start seeing a lot of directing on TV in his case. And he's directed like Grey's Anatomy, and there's quite several different shows that he had directed. But the one that he was most prolific on, and I think that explains how he got to Fear the Walking Dead, is he directed 17 episodes of Once Upon a Time. So, and of course, that's where the co-showrunners come from. Yeah. So anyway, I was really surprised, but I had a vague familiarity with that name. I went to go look him up on IMDb this afternoon, and that's exactly what I found.
Cool.
Pretty amazing. I'd say of all the directors that I've seen on either show, this guy has the most impressive resume. So the description is: Morgan and Grace search a shopping mall to fulfill a dying man's wish. Dwight is tested. Not too much mystery there. That's pretty much exactly what the episode was.
Yep.
All right. So, Mark, let's start with you. What did you give 210 words per minute out of 210?
Oh, well, I get a 9 out of 10 candied beansies.
Candied beansies. Yes.
Yeah, mainly for the fact that of the references towards Dawn of the Dead by George Romero. So I loved it just for that point. And plus, we only get one casualty out of this. Sorry, spoilers. And obviously, if you're listening to this podcast,
you probably already watched the show.
Yeah.
Yes. We have to say that as a disclaimer when we are doing Preacher now currently. So on Panels to Pixel. So
yeah. All right, Kyle.
All right. Well, I give it an 8.5 dumb Logan rednecks. Really? Pissing off Dwight? Is that a good idea? Out of 10.
And you'll probably have to beat me, Kyle, but I'm going to give it just 8.5 used to be assholes out of 10. Or 8.5 tomato toppies with respect to. I was kind of depressed when I saw that you said candied beansies, because tomato toppies? God, that's so lame. All right. So anyway, Grace's mom, you're lame. All right. Let's go through our listener ratings, and we'll start on a low note.
Well, Aaron from the internet says, I have to give 210 words per minute a 0 because it wasn't fear. More on this in my feedback section.
Yeah, she actually gives it a second rating, but I put that all in the feedback.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Steve from Oklahoma gives it an 8 out of 10 ill-conceived plans.
LT from NC also gives it an 8.5 out of 10. Wow. This mall has everything, with apologies to Jake and Elwood.
great callback. I love that.
Blues Brothers callback. Is that what that is?
Yeah.
I believe. Yeah.
Glennis from Toronto's gives it 8 out of 10 meandering mall walkers.
All right. So that's it for our ratings. So let's move on to the awesome variety of sasai.
Awesome sauce.
Steve from Oklahoma says, the trick with the remote control car.
And Glenn is from Toronto. She says, Morgan and Grace connecting emotionally, even though it was such a short and fleeting moment of time, especially on the carousel. A merry-go-round romance, that's for sure.
We got a few things that were possibly awesome that were put in by listeners, but they didn't quite mention it as awesome, so we put it in the feedback instead. So let's move on to our own awesome sauce, Mark.
Well, I love the callback in the show to Dawn of the Dead. I already spoke about that. The Monroeville Mall was the original mall of that movie, but this show utilized it as such, like a little bit more than what they had. It looked cleaner. Something I was looking for in the proper show. They never did it. It's about time. Finally, we get a mall in the zombie apocalypse, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, about time. I think the mall was called Bridgeview Mall.
Exactly.
Which makes me wonder where the bridge is.
And is it blown up?
Is it blown up? Yeah.
My next bit would be Morgan opening up to Grace and finding a little bit more about Grace within the episode. Them becoming a little bit more intrigued about each other, getting to know each other, and a bit of a romance, but... We'll talk about the other stuff in.
Yes, we will.
Later on. And thirdly would be Dwight bringing in some insight about turning off your conscience of morality and what is right and helping others other than yourself. Bringing up what he did before to Morgan. The character has grown, which I'm happy for, but that was over the course of The Walking Dead till this point. So, and a lot of other people are saying, oh, he's on that same cliche of, oh, I have to state why I'm doing this and this is where I'm at. But I'm not saying I enjoy it. I just like it. You know, I just like the fact that they're showing the change and transition of the character. Where it goes from there, I don't know. And as goofy as the car gimmick was, I loved it. It's very intuitive about the Zeds and how to distract them.
I didn't think it was goofy at all. In fact, I would say I'm surprised that we haven't seen something like this before.
Yeah.
It makes perfect sense to do that. In fact, I was kind of sad to see the truck stomped on, and I wanted to like shake Morgan's a little bit and say, you know, why didn't you like pay attention? All right, Kyle.
All right. Well, I mean, Dwight, when he was talking to the Logan redneck, I got some major Rick Grimes vibes when he was, you know, talking to him. He was like telling the guy, he's like, you know, when the guy like basically hit him on the face, he's like, you're going to tell me what I want to know, blah, blah. And then it was just like, he was looking at the guy, and he's like, look at my face.
It's a waffle.
Yeah, he was like, he's like, and telling him when he gets free, like we'll, he was like, well, we'll see. But like that whole bit, like I got this whole, like, you remember when Rick Grimes was in, like when they, at Terminus and not, you know, like he would make those moments where he's telling the other person, like, yeah, when I get that machete out of my bag, you're over. or something, you know, like, it just, Dwight, I don't know, I loved, because, you know, we know he's been through a lot, and him to look at this guy and be like, really? You're trying to scare me?
Yeah, well, with Dwight, it shows on his face, so.
Right, I know, and this guy thought he was all, like, totally whatever. You know, it's like
he thought Dwight would melt at the sight of him.
Yeah. Well, the other part was like, I thought Dwight, like at the time when he was giving his asshole speech, like I felt like it to the, you know, to the redneck, I felt like that it played off so much better coming from him than it came from Morgan. Just, you know, Morgan, you know, when Dwight was basically trying to have that moral conundrum with like, hey, you know, it's like, what are we going to do when we're being threatened? He was like, you know, we're not doing correct or it's like we're doing right. But it was like when he was having that speech with him, it's almost, I almost kind of felt like I wish Dwight was kind of the crossover character than Morgan, because I just felt that Dwight, he just has a lot of this growth coming out of him than he was, you know, from what he did on The Walking Dead. And then being this character role on the show, you know, it's like then Morgan and dealing with his loss of his family, trying to be a better human, you know, like kind of what his stick is going on right now. I had this moment watching Dwight being like, I believed every kind of thing, like just how he was saying it, how he was coming to terms of it, just what his character was doing. Then I feel like what Morgan has done the whole entire season, or like two seasons.
I can't disagree with any of that. I think everything you said is 100% true. And I think that Dwight does. I mean, I love to see Morgan on this show, and you know, I don't have the problem that say Aaron has with him, but I think that Dwight is really interesting in this show, and I think that he really works as a crossover character, and it makes you wonder what if he was the one that had been walking across in season four and met John Dory, you know, instead of Morgan, and what would the show be like with them? I wonder if Kim Dickens would still be on the show, you know, if you think about it, like from a business perspective, his salary is probably less than what Lenny James would be able to attract. So I would think that, you know, because like I don't think he was that well known before The Walking Dead. So anyway, I'm thinking that, you know, they might have been able to still afford Kim Dickens, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think it's just kind of like there's just, I don't know, like the character of Dwight, and just and now that he's in this show, part of, you know, like in The Fear, and just like seeing him make his decisions about, because he really could have shot that guy, he could have gone all the way back to the way he was with Negan, and we're seeing him make these decisions, and just, you know, like, but also airing the ire of caution of like, you know, like, hey, like, what are we going to do about Logan and his group when they do show up? It's like, we can't have all of this, you know, optimism and like, oh, we're doing this and that. It's like, sometimes you need guns or an army to like fend off. But I like seeing him making these changes with his character, because I know where he's come from, and it just plays off so much better than how Morgan has been since he first came on. So I don't know. I like Lenny James. I love Morgan. I love his character. You know, you remember whenever we saw that first shot of him, you know, coming up behind Rick and them, like when they were on their way to Terminus, when we hadn't seen him in forever. And
yeah.
Remember the whole, like, everybody cheering.
Oh yeah.
Like, you know, being like, oh my gosh, Morgan's back. We love this character. I just don't know now, like, maybe this just was a bad choice or a bad fit, or
I think it's a good fit. It's the problem has to do with what they've done with this character.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they've kind of like, and I think this has come in ever since they made the turnaround, you know, at 4B, you know, they've turned him into this like speechifying, you know, Morgan is trying to make a better future, and you know, some of that works, but some of it just seems stupid. You know,
he's the Yoda. Do right, we are not careful, or something.
Poke you in the stick, I will.
Oh, all right. Well, and then my last thing was the Walker kill at the beginning with the door. I love seeing, you know, just, you know, it's like the cool, just different ways of like how they kill walkers or just deal with them. You know, it was a simple thing where it's like, okay, they like, he had the, you know, axe in his shoulder or whatever. And then he just started like, you know, smashing its head in the door. It was fun. I love seeing different cool creative ways of like, you know, dealing with the dead.
Yeah. And I had this down in my awesome sauce too, that I call it the hatchet kill, but you know, it was more of like, you know, like you say, bashing his head against the door was,
It was gross. It was cool though.
It was gross, but it was also like, oh, that's one way they could do it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure that, you know, many a walker's been killed that way, but I don't know if we've ever seen one exactly killed that way.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I had that one too. And I didn't really say it, but, I also liked, you know, that Dwight let the guy go, but I have a feeling that it wasn't probably a good gesture, but I almost guarantee you that it's going to backfire. Mm-hmm. And I'll get to that later because there was something specific that I have to say about that. And also, Dwight gets a haircut. And you could take two meanings of that. First, Daniel, showing a little bit of the civilized, Daniel, you know, from LA, cutting hair. And you can see that he gets a lot of satisfaction in, you know, making somebody look good. And certainly Dwight, you know, he almost, took a page out of, Daryl's book, you know, kind of greasy looking and all of that stuff. So it was good to see him, you know, cut the beard off and trim down the hair. Although I think he could have gotten even shorter, to be honest. But you know, nevertheless, yeah. he looked way more presentable. All right. That's it for Awesome Sauce. So let's move on to the week variety of Sauce High.
You're worthless and weak.
Weak sauce. Start with you, Mark.
Glennis from Toronto says, Grace deciding throughout the whole episode to do really stupid things like taking on all those walkers by herself and chasing after that other red jacketed walker on her own.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have to agree with that one.
Yeah, it kind of made me angry. When I saw that. I was just like, oh, never mind.
And this says me to say, Steve, but Kyle, why don't you say it because you have the comeback.
Okay. All right. Next is Steve from Oklahoma, and he says, a generator that powers an entire mall? Come on. And I had this as my weak sauce too, because I was like, how much gas did they have? Because wouldn't that be a diesel generator, and don't their cars run unleaded? I mean, I'm only assuming. It's not that I'm like an expert on generators for giant malls, but I'm pretty sure it'd probably be diesel. And also, like, it was like, as far as I know, it was like just a one can, you know, like standard size, whatever, you know, back of a Jeep kind of, you know, can. I'm thinking, wouldn't that burn through it pretty quick?
Like if it was the, if it was a big pickup or, you know, one of the transport trucks, it was probably most certainly diesel,
but their cars run on unleaded. I would assume.
Yeah. You could assume. Right. Yes.
So I just, yeah, you kind of just have to let it go.
Yeah, definitely. All right. So we've got our own weak sauce now. Mark?
Well, I thought it was weak that they didn't want everyone in the beginning to come to the mall. You know, they kept saying, don't come here. The more the merrier is my feeling. They can get more people to clear that mall to get what they need in supplies. Why tell them not to come in the first place. They're still afraid of the Logan and his crew, but they
I'm thinking that's kind of probably that's what it's about. It's just like they don't want to all be all in one place and just kind of more like in separate groups, maybe because of, you know, it's like the kids and all that stuff. I guess maybe are with. Are they at Tank Town or they're like with Al?
With Sarah Russia? And Wendell, I'm assuming because of last episode. But it to me, it's like, come on, you need the vehicles in order to get all the stuff out of there. If they clear out the whole mall, they could easily clear it out, or if not, stay. But
more than just Grace and Morgan and Dwight. It's like, you could have another three more people, you know, like even if it wasn't the whole caravan. Yeah, it was. They were just on their own little mission.
And oddly, I thought it was weak and strong by the way Dwight actually dealt with the guy he encountered. It was very courageous, but very stupid in the end. I think he was invoking something that Daryl had once done to him, you know. On a whim, because if you remember, Daryl did the same thing, putting some sort of trust in this person, helping him out. And next thing you know, Daryl got pretty much backstabbed and thrown in and having to listen to Easy Street for how long? You know, obviously the circumstances were different, but in this case, it mattered to Dwight. I hope we don't lose him in some way. I'm really sorry, Waffle Face.
At least at this time, right now, I'm not worried about Dwight. I still feel like they're going to use him for character development or like, you know, play off others or maybe whatever, but I don't think there's anything to worry about him, like, or losing him, but I liked what he did though too. It was just like that was smart, you know. It's like he knew, or he at least had the, you know, inkling to think about like, what if Logan's people are closer than we think, you know, because the way the caravan was Daniel was playing the music, and it's like, okay, yeah, it's like that's just basically their signal, I guess, to know that they're moving. But you know, for him to just basically take the initiative and be like, I'm going to take care of any possible issue that might, you know, for him to, like, you know, that's why he, you know, said that, like, his location or what he was doing on the walkie. And I thought that was like the first thing I saw, it was like, oh yeah, like he's kind of, you know, trying to draw them out, and whether or not it would happen, but you know, just try to see what's out there. He was the scout that Luciana probably should have been, but probably wouldn't have done anything what Daryl said or Dwight did. Anyways. Okay. Well, then I guess I'll go into my weak sauce. And I mean, some of it's just kind of like, it was, the RC car. I kind of liked it, but it was still, again, I kind of have that hard thing to deal with. It's like, it had a charged battery in it. Like,
after I have a feeling that Kyle has had a battery trauma.
Did he lick a battery because, that was charged?
Yeah.
Because it's so many of your criticisms of this show have to do with batteries or gasoline.
It's just me just pointing out that it's like, yes, you have to suspend disbelief, because I just don't understand how after this many years that they're in this mall and just, oh, look, I have an RC car that is just totally able to do what I need. You know, it's like, come on. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
But the cameras and the tapes, it's just, I'm just pointing it out, being like, yeah, unrealistic, but we'll just go with it.
How did he keep the iPad charged or the the iPod charged?
Right. I mean, I could see like, I could see like, Grace listening to her audiobooks is like, well, yeah, if you have any kind of somewhat of a power source, like those things can last for, you know, like several like days, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like that I can kind of believe, because, you know, they have stuff that are like, I've actually looked into it, that it, you know, there's like a, it's got a solar charge, but it's also another, it's like a lithium ion battery, but you can like, it takes a day for it to charge, but you can charge your iPhone like, you know, five times on that one charge.
Right.
Or the deal. So it's like, I could see things like that, but of course that's going to the extreme because that's not something that you just have readily access to or the capability of. And, you know, for it to just happen out of the spur of the moment, be like, oh yeah, cool, we have this RC car that's going to lead the walkers away. And I'm like, really?
It's also worth saying too, it's one of those like 2010 versus 2019 things.
That things
charge a lot faster now, thanks to the what do they call it, the
well, just the, yeah, just the battery technology. I mean, it's like lithium ion batteries. That's a good point. Cause it's like, yeah, this isn't 2019. That was 2010, 11 or whatever. my next one was Morgan and his like dark bow staff thing. I mean, and Grace has to save him from his boneheaded like mistake of like, it's like, I mean, why the hell do you need to do this without any lights? Okay, so they're in the like the back hallways of the mall trying to, I guess, get to the generator. And then, you know, of course they come across these walkers, and then Morgan's just all like, oh, no, turn your light off, Grace. And like, and she's like, why? And it's like, no, I'll take care of this. And I was like, I kind of felt as like, is he trying to show off to her? Like, show his Dory sharpshooting bow staff in the night trick?
I'm going to show you the force and how to use it in the dark.
I mean, it just made no sense. And then, of course, it didn't work because he almost died. Like, she had to turn the light on and, like,
his bow staff is a Darth Maul type lightsaber.
Yeah, even though it's like a quarter staff at this point because it's so small.
Oh, it's got so broke stubby.
By Grace.
Yeah. And it looked, I was going to comment on that later on, that it looks so puny now.
Yeah.
Barely, you know.
He's going to have a toothpick by the end of the series.
I just found that whole entire scene unbelievably weak because it made zero sense. I'm like, why would you want to fight off these walkers with no lights? Like, right. It made zero sense unless he was trying to show off, which, yeah, way to go, Morgan. You almost killed yourself.
Right.
And then last was like, I don't know. It's like Morgan's motto of like, we're not doing careful, we're doing right. And it's like, I feel this week because we know this world doesn't work that way. And so I feel like it's like this setup for Morgan to go all clear on us because after doing right, something, you know, he's going to get everyone or someone he cares about like killed, like Grace.
By the way, doesn't that sound like a slogan for a muffler company? Yeah. Buy the key. We're not doing careful. We're doing right.
Right. Yes. Oh, goodness. Yeah. Well, I just, you know, they obviously use this saying quite a bit in this episode. So I have a feeling that it's like there's like we're leading up to basically like something that is just going to basically crush all the hope and optimism that they've been showing.
Yeah. I have a feeling that's yeah.
And if not, then I'm definitely going to be disappointed because I don't want this to end like a never ending story, like say her name and the whole Fantasia just comes out of her and Falcor comes out of the, you know, the sky and like, hey, we all just like got together and we all have gas and everybody's hunky dory. Like there's got to be some death and destruction and like picking up the pieces. So I'm getting that off of this whole Morgan's motto. So
yeah, it's time for all this, you know,
like we can do it. Yes, yeah, we can. And
yeah, to be crushed in a, it'll probably be like, I was thinking of this earlier when it was discussed, this land is your land. I think was the episode season 3, episode 13. That was it was one of the best episodes, I think, of the series. It was when Alicia is stuck with the Broke Jaw Ranch people in the pantry. Yeah. And what she had to go through in that episode, it just soul crushing, you know, mm-hmm. by the end. And yeah, it makes me think that that's where we're coming to. Yet at the end, they will triumph. All right. Well, I'm going for an obvious one, and I was really surprised nobody brought this up. Candy beansies? Really? Really? I mean, they really, really tried to sell that one, didn't they?
Yeah. I know. I thought it was like something like it was like, is that just a Southern thing? But I was just thinking, like, but how old is Grace? It's like, you've never heard or seen a jelly bean in your adult life before. I don't know.
That's what I was taking it as, you know, like, okay, if she thought that they were called jelly bellies, okay, that I might buy.
Yeah, yeah.
But candy beansies, really? Really? You're an engineer or some kind of nuclear scientist or something, and you don't know that they're called jelly beans? And, you know, really?
Maybe she's a very sheltered scientist.
So I have to say on that one, I get what you were going for, writers, but the mall has all that stuff, yet they still need to grab their own water? That made no sense to me at all. Like, there had to have been cases of water still left in that mall. And we see later they have protein drinks. So I would have to think that there was water in that store. So, or that mall. So going back to get an entire case of water to me made no sense. To that end, Daniel, even if there was a Cinnabon, a Sin City or a Bunnery, which I had to look those last two up, and there are some places called Sin City and Bunneries, although I don't think that they're a chain. You'd still have to make the cinnamon buns.
So, yeah.
What in the actual F was that?
I know that I had that in my weak sauce originally too, is because it was just like, does he really think that there's like going to be this edible Cinnabon just laying around?
Like, I mean, it was like Rice Krispie squares or something like that, or even chocolate bars.
Yeah, like that.
Then, or cookies even that are like candy coated. Maybe not that so much. I would imagine they'd be pretty stale, but yeah, still.
It'd be like the candy beansies. They'd be a rock hard, like Jawbreakers.
Yeah, exactly. Ouch,
it was just a very stupid line for him to say.
it was meant for humor factor, I think.
Yeah, and,
that's what it was. And I'd say the candy beansies definitely was too, but it just didn't make any sense. Especially Cinnabon. It's essentially like a pastry. Pastries don't have an unlimited shelf life. So that's what got me. It's like, the more I was thinking about that, like on the second viewing of it, I'm like, what? Like, I laughed at it at first, but then I'm like, are you kidding me? That's not even realistic. Who cares?
Right. No. You know? Well, and the way he said it too, cause it was like, it's not like he was saying it jokingly.
He said it like a sad puppy dog.
Right. He said it like being serious. And so it was kind of like not this like, oh, yeah. Oh, what? They don't have a Cinnabon here? Like, ha, ha, ha. It was like he looked very disappointed. Like he was being like, it was a real thing that he was saying. Anyways.
And another point that I had to bring up, and I noticed it later, but that they, you know, they got protein powders and shakes and stuff like that. But it's like, if this is a GNC, which it was it? I think it was called like VNT or something like that. Yeah. VMT. Why are they stopping there? Like, okay, protein bars, bulking powders to gain weight. That I would think that that would be important, to like, cause there's going to be people that are starving. Energy supplements, vitamins, that would be very important. I would say electrolyte powders, et cetera. Although we did see shakers. So, but the more I started thinking about that, I thought like that would be a really, really important place to get supplies in the zombie apocalypse or any kind of apocalypse that for that matter, especially if you're not eating well, because that's the kind of stuff that could really like put you over the top and, you know, keep your weight up, keep your strength up, all those things.
Yeah.
Not enough Daniel in this episode. It really felt like all the stuff that he had been shot in a day. It was like very much like an add-on, and I'm really wondering if that's the way they're going to be using him this season. It's all going to be like, you know, little like, you know, B plots and C plots, and you know, never the focus. So he's just like kind of being. Like I say, a bit part, you know?
Yeah, he already got his bottle episode already this season, I guess. And I feel, you know, that he could just be supplemented saying, all right, well, we bottled Morgan and Grace. So at the very end, we'll show Morgan.
Yeah.
So at least somebody else from the crew is finding him and or them and doing what they need.
Yeah. And I have one more weak sauce, and then we have a late coming weak sauce that just came in. So, okay. So Dwight is taking a leak off the side of the road, which, you know, I totally understand. But the guy comes out of nowhere while he's taking a leak. Like, what is he, a ninja? Step. You know,
kind of like those zombies.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so that's like either he heard him or saw him and he just like played the patsy, or it was just way too unbelievable there. So I really have to like suspend my disbelief warning light there and just think that that just didn't work for me. Yeah. But the other part I would say part of that, and then I know you had something to say, Kyle, but they really do like knocking people in the head on this show.
Yeah. It always works out too. It knocks them out, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Knocks them out. Doesn't kill them. Doesn't like, you know, mortally wound them. Doesn't like fracture their skull. It's just enough to knock them out.
Knock them out. Yeah. No, I was just saying it's like maybe, there's where like, you know, you need your protein bars and stuff because I guess everybody in the apocalypse has like lost their like side vision and like their hearing. So they just don't
hearing.
Yeah. It's like they don't hear or see like stuff off in the distance, like a walker that seems to pop out of nowhere and you're in an open field.
And we have a latecomer, but we're going to put it in anyway. We got another weak sauce, and Dieta, we're going to add your awesome and rating in the regular piece part of feedback, but we are going to we got your weak sauce as we were doing weak sauce, so I'll put it in here. She says another Morgan centered episode, but with Grace this time, not Alicia. Shrug. All right, now it's time for what sauce?
What?
And we only got one what sauce, and that's from Steve from Oklahoma. And we had a lot to say about this one. Morgan leaving Grace behind to go find Alicia. And I volunteered to say this one because, Morgan, you could have had a new relationship with a good woman.
And you blew it! You blew it! You blew it!
You blew it! You had it all and you blew it!
Yeah, what in the blue hell, Morgan? You had someone right in front of you. Grace opened herself to him, and she's really interested in him. And it's clear, Morgan. She clears. But I guess he feels like he can't be attached to someone. Yeah, everyone leaves, apparently. He can't lose anyone he loves. Wreck. Totally.
Oh, wow. No, I agree. I was like, what the what? Like, she's right there. Like, come on.
Yeah, and, you know, here he is grinning like an idiot. And I don't know. I had to take a step back with this one because I had this one too. So let's just take a step back, take a minute, and let's examine this decision that he makes. Morgan and Grace definitely could have developed into a relationship here, as far as I'm concerned, if he had stayed with her, if he had just gone in the car with her.
Yeah.
I fear, no pun intended, that it won't happen now, or that he will act, but it'll be too late. Like, you know, she's going to get sick, or, mm-hmm. you know, something will happen and she'll die otherwise. The question I have is, what stopped him? Because depending on how you read it, it could have been several things. And like, is he just not ready for that? That he's holding on to the, you know, memory of Jenny and Dwayne, and he just won't let go of that. He's, you know, is that what it is? He just isn't ready to let go. You know, maybe something else will happen. And it also reminds me of, what's the name of that episode? Season 7. The one where Ben dies in The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Season 7, episode 13. And I even mentioned that episode not that long ago, and I cannot remember what it was called. It is called Bury Me Here. Yes, Bury Me Here. And I know I mentioned that last week. Mm-hmm. So it kills me. That one, again, you know, he lost that relationship to Ben. In many ways, I think that, you know, if that hadn't happened, he may have healed himself. At least in his case, I think the trauma of losing Dwayne was worse than Jenny, because of the fact that Jenny killed Dwayne. And he's still referring to Dwayne in the like is, not was. You know,
I think he says, like, he's Dwayne.
Yeah, he's Dwayne. He doesn't say he was Dwayne or, right.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah.
So he's, I think it's the son that, like, so, I mean, if Grace maybe had a boy, maybe he would have reacted, you know, more positively. So I don't know. There may be something that she can't provide, but it certainly did seem like she was trying to help him with his problem. And by the way, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, was it just like a sexual thing, or
Could have gotten Blue Chew from the GNC. Resolve that issue.
Oh, goodness. Well, I wonder if, because she did say, like, how she said that Morgan was the lucky one because he did have a family, you know,
yeah.
he met someone and, like, he was able to, you know, have that kind of experienced life. And she was just like, I didn't. I just kind of, you know, like, I just would stay away from it. And so they're almost kind of like on these two opposite sides of the spectrum. And maybe that, I don't know, you know, I might be reading too much into it, but it's just like, you know, what does she offer to him when he lost so much with the family and she didn't have that experience? So it's kind of like, well, then what right. can you do? So I don't know. That's kind of. Well,
and the other thing is it the fact that he doesn't want to get close to her, knowing that she might become sick at some point, and he's like, trying to protect himself from being hurt later on when she dies. But I mean, even if she is going to die from this, you know, radiation, that, I mean, her like time on this planet is probably not all that different from just like in being in the zombie apocalypse, for that matter. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, maybe shaved a couple of years off her life or something like that in a time that you could die at any point. So,
yeah,
you know, and, that's it for the what sauce, but we got that major what sauce in, and it looks like you guys didn't have any other what sauce. I seem to be the what sauce guy tonight.
Yep.
Why did Grace pass out? Like, that was not explained. Was it just the blood sugar thing or a fatigue thing or,
yeah,
or
I think it was fatigue.
Yeah.
Or was it, you know, or is she becoming sick? And of course they, you know, she decides, oh, I'm not going to get checked. It's like,
I know,
which like, okay, did they take the ultrasound? Like, that was the one question I had. Like, did they, well, we don't know for sure if they had an x-ray machine or an ultrasound machine, but it's like, I would think, June probably knows how to work at least the ultrasound. I don't know about x-ray, but, so
yeah,
why would she? And I know that that's not the best way to find cancer, but, it, you know, it, if you've got like a baseball sized tumor or something, it's probably going to find it in an ultrasound. So anyway, that was, something. Also, maybe I missed it. Where did the sparkly turtle come from?
I just think a store in the mall, because yeah,
was that cut or something? Because I don't remember seeing her come across the turtle.
No, but when they're up on the roof with what's his face, like she's all like, "Oh no, hold on!" And then she runs off, and then come like so. I feel like maybe there was like a Gap's Kids or something, and it, you know, so she it was one of the stores, and she
Kids Are Us or something,
or yeah, that was or something.
Still around. Also, another thing with this, I think I kind of alluded to this earlier. Like, okay, so we saw Daniel, we saw Dwight, and then Grace and Morgan, and then a bunch of no names. Like, the only other one that had a speaking part was a woman. Now, was it the same woman from last?
That was the same woman from last episode.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What was her name? Tess?
Yeah, I think it was Tess.
Okay. I wasn't sure if that was Tess or not, but okay. So everybody else is new people.
New people. I like new people.
I just wondered about that though. And to that end, you know, like, okay, redirect, as Morgan said. So like, is it possible just to like reach an agreement with Logan to share the gas? Like, it's a refinery. Like, to me, that's something that could like start up trade and that, like, that's a commodity that people need. And I don't know, it's very odd.
Yeah. That, well, and like, Clayton and his people are running Tank Town, aren't they?
Yeah.
So doesn't Logan know those same people? Because weren't they?
Obviously not.
I guess not. Yeah. My only thing I can think of is Logan's doing this against his will, so to speak, because those other people don't seem to be very. We've seen little hints of, like, you know, they punched him in the eye, you know, like he had a black eye. And
right.
So maybe he's. Yeah, he would be something that they could reach an agreement with, but I think right now he's going to obviously be at some point the one that somehow jumps at the last minute and saves them all and takes
it. Yeah, or yeah, either that or he's the one that, like, you know, causes the destruction of everyone but the major characters.
Yeah.
So, all right. So speaking of that, let's move on to Aww. Are sad and aw sauce. Mark?
Well, Glennis from Toronto says, Morgan deciding not to go with his feelings for Grace, it seems it is going to take longer to come to terms with letting go of Jenny and Dwayne. Shows that Morgan's family is really on his mind the whole time when he called Dwight by his son's name, Dwayne, when Morgan fetched the water from Dwight. I didn't catch that part.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I gotta rewatch.
Yeah. I don't even think I caught that on the closed captioning.
No, I didn't catch that either.
Yeah.
Huh.
Good catch. All right, Dieta from Troy, she gives sad sauce. Was Morgan talking about his son? Crying face. Yep.
Indeed. All right. Mark, you have a sad sauce?
Yeah, even though I mentioned it was weak, but the last scene between Morgan and Grace, that hit me hard. He needs someone. Just glad he found a connection in some way. Please, Morgan, don't let it go. Don't be like Frozen. Don't say, let it go, let it go.
And I think I said it before, but the only thing I had sad to say is that I really felt bad for Morgan in this episode, like, especially like seeing his reaction when he was in the truck, you know, driving away. You know, both of them are crying, and I don't know. I hope that is something that he gets to experience. I just have a feeling they're all setting it up for Grace to die at the end of the season. Yeah. Which I would like to see her survive somehow. And no pun intended there. Just survive somehow. Anyway, so it just seems like it's not going to happen. And I'll be surprised if she does survive and they end up together. But they should have been together, man. I think that would have been good for him. And it's kind of sad that it's probably not going to work out. But oh well, let's move on to our feedback section.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
And our star person for feedback has struck again. Steve from Oklahoma City has voicemail.
Hello, Walking Dead Talk Through. This is Steve. And just a few notes or expand upon my post to the Facebook page. I mentioned the ill-conceived plans. What exactly was Dwight's plan? I guess he knew the guy was out there and that he was following him. So he led him somewhere. But how did he know it was only one guy? How did he know he was going to be able to take the guy? It just seemed like a plan that, why didn't he tell Morgan, hey, by the way, somebody's watching us. And it just seemed, and then of course, Grace's plan to get to the urgent care center that ended up being nothing. It didn't make any sense to me again, if she's just going to abandon it, you know. And then of course, Chuck's plan to go and see the stars, but then the was overcast. It just had me questioning all these people making these plans, and then them, what were they going to do? Were they going to set up shop there in the mall? Apparently not. They were going to get the whole convoy and just clean the mall out without any of Logan's people seeing. It just seemed, the whole idea seemed a little far-fetched to me. I did like that we do get the answer to why Austin Emilio had his haircut, because we see that he gets a haircut at the end of this episode. So that answers our scratching head question from seeing him at conventions, or Mark seeing him at a convention earlier this year. And this episode, I have to say, was just not my favorite. It didn't get a very, you know, it got an 8 rating from me, which I think is the lowest rating I've given any episode this far. So talk to you later.
Thank you so much, Steve, for stellar feedback yet again. All right. I would have to say that you made some good observations about those ill-conceived plans. And the one I want to highlight is the Dwight one. Because, how did he know that he was going to be one-on-one? I mean, for all that matter, he could have been ambushed. You know, he was, but by one guy. So how exactly did he know that he'd be able to, you know, survive that? He could have been, you know, easily overtaken.
Yeah. And I have to add to what Steve was talking, because, yeah, he is my co-host on Panels to Pixels.
But, yes.
And he knows the, when I went to Heroes and Villains in July, I saw Austin show up and, you know, take Ross away from me for the moment that I spoke to Ross. Because he said to Ross, and he didn't hear me or see me hear him, about saying how they just filmed the last episode of the season that the night before he showed up for Heroes and Villains. So I think the haircut was meant specifically just to give him a trim. So I don't know what the very last episode will be. So they film things in sequence, according to what Jenna had said to me when I asked her at the con. So I think there's still more to come. And I think Austin just got a shave and a haircut, and it was a lot shorter than what he had on
the episode. Maybe he, either he got a haircut knowing that, you know, in several months he could grow it back, or he gets another haircut. So
that's a possibility. Probably says, hey, I just gave you a trim before, I want to give you a better haircut now.
But yeah, I noticed that myself, like when I'd seen, I think it was either pictures of him or him at Comic-Con, his hair seemed to be shorter.
Yeah, it was.
So, yeah. All right. So, Mark, you've got some feedback from our friend Erin.
Yes. And she says, it was really nice of Ruben to guest star on The Walking Dead this week. I say it was The Walking Dead because the main focus was clearly The Walking Dead cast members of Dwight and Morgan. Yes, Grace debuted on Fear, but really her plot works on either shows. So I wouldn't say she held down the fort for the show title, especially as she's only been in a few episodes compared to the other newbies. Thusly, I have to give 210 words per minute a zero because it wasn't Fear.
Yeah, and Daniel wasn't in it much either for that matter.
Yeah. And she continues on saying, as a The Walking Dead episode, I'd give it a 5 because there was decent Gray stuff and the Dwight stuff was good. I am taking points out. She's taking points off for some of the stupid writing this week, as first, what mall has a full on ER in their walls? Which is interesting. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Okay, let's just, an urgent care is not an ER.
Right, it's not the same thing.
Like if you have been shot, you do not go to an urgent care.
Yeah.
Exactly. If you have a runny nose or cough, or you've sprained an ankle, then you go to an urgent care. So
Or if you're pregnant and they might have an ultrasound to check on your fetus.
They might have an ultrasound or x-rays or all that kind of stuff.
I've had an x-ray at an urgent care. So yeah, that definitely is something that you could end up having. But it's not a place that you would go for
Major wounds.
Major wounds, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she continues on saying, and secondly, if you know you want to search in a shopping mall and you know you're in the security office, why not look for the keys to places first so you don't set off alarms? Or, hey, here's a concept. You clearly raided a hardware store on your cutters to cut a hole in the gate so you don't set off the alarm.
Now, yeah, that's a good point, because they were in that security room. Like, why, like that? Why did they not then go through like the back hallways the whole entire time instead of being in the, you know, main part of it?
Yeah,
yeah, that's true. I mean, they could have shut off all the alarms, and they didn't. That's a very good point. Something we definitely should have had in our weak sauce. Although we had a lot of weak sauce.
Yeah.
And she says, it amazes me how this show can go from something so high as Channel 4 one week to the next.
Yeah. For her, 9.5 to 0. that's as far off the cliff as you can go.
She says, I can't wait for Fear to return next week so we can actually see what their next episode is like. I have so many questions, such as where is Al or for Morgan to make that end comment? Is Alicia seriously going to continue with this no kill thing? Will we get good filter for the cameras again? Same bad time, same dead channel.
Seemed appropriate.
As for the episode, I have to say the ending took all my Morgan points he had built up for Channel 4, because really, how are you going to be a jerk to Grace like that? I get you're all sad because you feel like you're cheating on your wife still, but you could have just said that instead of lying to her face. Bad Morgan. On a lighter note, wow, Dwight looks different with his new hairstyle.
Yes, he does. Now, I wanted to highlight something I listened to today, and you've heard her on the podcast or heard her feedback. Diana from Illinois, she does Aim for the Head. She made some great points. She actually referenced you, Aaron. So she didn't mention you by name, but she mentioned a listener who didn't watch The Walking Dead. So it's obvious she was talking about Aaron. And she made some great points in sympathy of how it makes total sense why Fear only fans are right in hating Morgan. And I have to bring it up because I was like, oh my God, this is incredible insight. So she said it better than I've been saying it and better than the other guys here have said it. So listen to Aim for the Head this week. I definitely would recommend it. She and Steve do a great, I hope that's his name. I think it is. Do a great podcast, and want to single it out because, like I said, she made some great insights on her podcast about this very thing.
So you gave Aaron some homework again.
Well, not intentionally, but yeah, I guess so. I mean, if you want to listen to it, but I don't know.
We recommend it.
I thought about actually giving a clip, but I looked at how much feedback we got, and I thought, no, I better not. But yeah, anyway, enough of that. Definitely listen to her podcast, just in general. It's good. She does a good job. All right, next.
All right, next is LT from NC, and he says, I like this episode more than last week, even though it still has a few issues. I enjoyed the RC truck decoy up until the walker stepped on it. Agreed.
Yeah, I agree too.
The whole hook with Dwight, with hiding the pistol under the water bottles, then when he got caught by that guy, redneck, then the first speech in the back of the truck to the part where that guy, Redneck, started thrashing Sherry's letters, and you knew Dwight was going to snap. And then when that was like, that was hard to watch.
And when I heard, saw that, I had to say,
gotta get in there.
Gotta get it in.
Yeah. All right. Well, and you know, so him thrashing Sherry's letter, and you knew Dwight was going to snap. And then when Dwight let him go, I love to think that he's going to turn over a new leaf, since we saw Dwight do the same thing. But I have the feeling we'll see him again.
I have a feeling we're going to see him again, and he's not going to turn over a new leaf.
Yeah, I agree.
And I have more to say in a few minutes about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully he doesn't have a crossbow aimed at somebody's head.
Yeah.
Shoots a medical personnel.
Yeah. Oh, well, that was
hard. Yes, it was.
All right. Well, he continues on. I know I have to own the fact I griped about the emotional speech time around the campfire, but really enjoyed the scene with Morgan and Grace in the GNC, or I guess whatever it was called. I know it'll come up from someone else, but I struggle to see how the generator runs the whole mall when a very similar generator burned up trying to run the coolant pumps at the nuke plant.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, it was a pretty big generator, but yeah, I mean.
It was a big generator that was in the mall itself, so obviously it was set up for that purpose, you know, like as a backup or whatever.
Right.
But like, she did use a little generator to try to run the nuke plant. and yeah. Like. You know, that was kind of like, how much power? Yeah, it's like, do you need to generate to, I guess, you know, was she hooking it? You know, anyways, I was just like, yeah, but at least the mall, that was its built-in generator. So I just was more about the gas, like burning so quickly because it, you know, a carousel can't run forever.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, well. And that was the end of it.
So Glennis from Toronto says, Morgan's philosophy is working its way into Dwight's mindset now. Daniel's face when Dwight said he let Logan's man go, when Dwight quoted Morgan's, "We don't play safe, we play right." She continues on saying, Dwight looked damn fine after his haircut and shave. That sure made him feel like $1 million. I want a happy Morgan and Grace to get that smile back on his face permanently, like he had when controlling the remote-controlled car and when he was recalling that happy moment on the carousel ride with Grace, before Daniel indirectly reminded him of his family when asking what he was smiling about. That smiling is telling him that he and Grace are right for each other. But poor Morgan is fighting that emotion and trying to be loyal to his dead family. So practice what you preach, Morgan, and don't play safe, but play right. All this smiling also reminded me a bit of Ezekiel's statement of, "And yet I smile."
Yeah.
And when Morgan said, "Thank you," I recalled that The Walking Dead episode of "Thank You" when Nicholas shot himself.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, that's yeah.
Not
yeah,
the we same.
Don't remember that one. That was the dumpster.
Yes.
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 I didn't like the goodbye between Morgan and Grace, with Morgan watching Grace get more distant via the rear view mirror. As in the past, that hasn't boded well for the characters, as that has happened a couple of times in The Walking Dead. The major occurrence of which was when Glenn watched Maggie via the rearview mirror disappearing into the distance of Alexandria Gate, when Glenn, Michonne, and Rosita were leaving Alexandria to go and look for Daryl, and we all know how that ended for Glenn and Abe.
Yeah, season 6, yeah. episode 15, East.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I hope I'm wrong that Morgan isn't going to meet his end soon. Maybe the showrunners and Gimple are just playing with our emotions by throwing all these red herrings around. I hope so. A nice callback to the Dawn of the Dead, Fear of the Dead Walking writers. Yeah, I do agree with that. I love that. Was it Coleman Domingo who was narrating The Tale of Two Cities on that iPod?
No.
It would be nice. It would be funny.
It could be.
Well, no, it wasn't.
No, I know. But
it wasn't, no.
It didn't really even sound like him.
So. No, I didn't think so.
Which is funny, too, because that's a third-generation iPod, too, whereas in The Walking Dead, when when Eugene constructed that plane... that was a first generation iPod. Now this is a third generation iPod.
They've stepped up.
Yeah, and at some point we saw, I'm sure she doesn't have it anymore, but Alicia, she had an iPhone 4, I think. Had the full screen. I assume it was, and not an iPad. An iPod. I keep wanting to call it iPad today. I don't know why.
Yeah, that would be hard and big.
Yes. Yes, I know the difference. But all right. We got in while we were recording, Tieta's feedback. I told her to send it in. So, so her rating was an 8 out of 10 escalator walkers. And then her awesome sauce was Dwight. He was awesome in this episode. I loved it. Oh, what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. Threaten to shoot me if I don't tell you where the gas is? Look at my face. I've been through worse. Classic paying homage to where you came from in The Walking Dead. I know I didn't get that scene right, but maybe, Brian, you could add that clip of that scene. No. Not going to do that. Then her regular feedback, she says, overall, a decent episode. I like the mall as it paid homage to the classic Dawn of the Dead. I always thought the mall would be a good place to hunker down during a zombie apocalypse. So many essential stores and restaurants. But this one had an urgent care clinic, even better. So why don't they clear the mall and use it as a home or a fortress or a main base? I wondered that too. Not quite understanding why they are a caravan or survivors. I thought the point was to find somewhere safe that they could try and create some normalcy, like the communities in The Walking Dead. But instead, they are driving around on this newfound gas. The mall would have been a good spot for them. Morgan and Grace basically killed all the walkers. And I wonder about that. Did they kill all the walkers, or did the rest of them, when they came in, kill all the walkers?
Yeah, I think they hit a majority of them. I don't think they got all of them.
Yeah.
It seemed like that was done before the rest of the group showed up. But
yeah.
Because they had their carousel ride, and then, there's no walkers around.
Also, she says, where is Morgan going? He tells Grace that he has to go help Al. I thought, but why is she out by herself? And why has the group split up again? And where is the caravan going if they don't have a base? It seems like they're just caravanning, I guess. But my take on this, I answered this somewhere else, is where is Morgan going? Anywhere where he doesn't have to have the sexy time. Unfortunately, I really hope that they do end up together, because I do like them as a couple, but I think it's one of those things that's doomed.
Yeah, well, and I think, though, that it's not necessarily, or at least this is how I feel, I don't think it's Morgan necessarily trying to honor his wife and son, or, because of family or anything like that. I feel like it's because he doesn't want to lose someone and go back to clear mode. I think he's really scared about where he's been and like the things that he did while he was in his clear mode. That
yeah.
I think that's what's really preventing him from, you know, stop putting up barriers or like, you know, push people away or whatever. I think he's scared about what monster he can become whenever he loses it.
And that's what yeah. made me think of Bury Me Here earlier, because we see what he did in that episode.
Yeah.
And you know, he's capable of turning into that monster. He's not just this, you know, mild-mannered guy who's very serious. And I got a kick out of that. I'll just say that. This is in my notes. I got a kick out of him saying, you know, I'm kind of serious. And like Grace is like, oh, really?
Why so serious?
Well, I don't know, but that is Morgan. He is a serious guy. Mm-hmm. And I have to think that a lot of that is him, because like, I don't know if you remember on Fear the Walking Dead when he like had to say something to the showrunners about Mo Collins' character there, Sarah, calling him Bobo.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. He didn't like that
at all.
So I tend to think that that's like part of him in the character. That's why it works that much. All right, so that's it for our listener feedback. But we've got some other notes now. I'll just put this here. Do you have any notes, Mark? Anything? Even though you don't have anything written.
Why wasn't there any Blue Chew for Morgan?
Would it have made a difference?
Maybe. That's it.
All right. Kyle?
Well, I guess my, like, the first scene with the caravan answered my question last episode about, like, if people were joining the group, because it looks like they are joining the group. So, obviously we saw Tess and I didn't see the kid, but yeah, I guess they're building a community, so to speak. The other part was like, maybe I'm not trying to read too much in it, but it was one of the things after watching it the second time and like watching like closed captioning. It's like the audiobook that Grace was listening to, you know, it was A Tale of Two Cities.
Right.
And she started listening to it, and when she hit, like, at the beginning, and then when she hit the, you know, 2x speed, it cut into the word incredulity, if I can say that right, incredulity. And so, of course, I saw that, and I was like, okay, I have to look this up. And it was like, it basically means the state of being unwilling or unable to believe something.
Interesting.
So I took this as it was, like, kind of Grace's outlook on her life. Like she wanted to find out if she was really sick and like then how much time I guess she had. And obviously it plays out where she's connecting with Morgan and then Morgan's like kind of giving her hope to just live and not worry about how much time she has left. It's like, I mean, would you want to know if you're dying? You know, it's like, or just like kind of let the cards be what they may. And then I start thinking, I'm looking at you, Alicia.
That is a good question, whether or not you'd want to know.
Yeah. So I felt like her, like this whole concept and just the words and like, you know, like I felt like that was kind of like a specific thing to cut on to then how this whole episode played out. So it was kind of interesting. And then of course, I guess at the end when Grace changed her mind, I like literally like yelled out. I was like, GD Grace is like, get yourself checked out. You just wasted everyone's time. but then she apologized for it. So then I was like not too long after that. And then I was like, okay, I have to give her that. I literally was screaming at my TV going like, really? Like we went through all that for nothing.
Well, and that's the stupid thing about it too, is that, you know, okay, so she had this one moment where she passed out and, you know, whether or not that could be something, you know, that's one thing, but like, wouldn't you think if it happens again, wouldn't you want to know Like instead of like, so to me that, okay, it's kind of like, you know, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. And it's going to be one of those things where, you know, something's going to happen to her again. And to me, she would want to know. And if they didn't get the ultrasound, well, we keep saying that they, you know, she supposed that they might have an ultrasound, but assuming they did, you would have to think that she'd want to know, you know?
Yeah. Oh, no, just so you could like prepare or like, hey, okay, yeah, obviously this is this. And like, it's not just like, oh, what's wrong with you? Oh, I have a cold. It's like, no, you have cancer or you have like a tumor. You know, it's like, it feels like that would be information so that you could at least do something about it or take care of it, or right. Everybody would know and be like, oh yeah. She just needs a little help. Give her some water.
Maybe she just had bad pad thai.
Who knows? Maybe she's completely fine, but she will not know.
She's pregnant with Morgan's baby.
Okay, some stuff went on that we didn't see.
Yeah,
exactly.
Bow cow.
That's why he was acting kind of weird at the very end.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's just like, oh, no.
Oh, it never happened, you know. Or let's just say friends, or I don't like you in that way. Oh, God. Yeah, anyway, let's move on here. You got more?
The last thing was like, we're not doing careful, we're doing right. I call horseshit. I just feel like this is the motto that is just going to get someone killed or worse for the group, because we know this world is not one that ends in a we are the world, we are the children moment without a walker chewing through a kid's arm. I mean, I'm not disliking the show. I like the show. There's a lot of cool, fun stuff going, but it's like, this world is not about optimism and like hope and dreams and rainbows and whatever. It's like, this is a tough world, and like, you know, there's challenges and like all this stuff. Like, we've had that in The Walking Dead. So I just feel like this turn that this season is going through, that like, you know, it's like, I like the idea that Morgan is kind of trying to be like, oh, no, we can fix a plane. We can do everything. We can just like all, you know, go through everything, every tragedy or any like hardship, and we're going to make it through it together as a group, blah, 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 blah. It's like, I kind of get that, but we know that this will not end well. So I'm hoping that that's where it's headed, because if it doesn't, then yes, then there's going to, then I'm going to be very I'm going to have some issues.
Yeah. It's like the whole dam's going to blow up.
And everybody survives.
Yes. And then they show up in a
float away.
Field.
Yes. A year later.
Yep.
Well, actually, more than a year later.
And everybody's indestructible, like Daniel.
Hmm. Yes. Yes.
No, except Nick.
Except Nick. Yeah. Well, except for Madison.
Well, yeah. Madison, Nick. And
yes. And we never did find out what happened to him to make him so fragile. You know? Here's this guy who is ensconced in zombie blood all the time, and you know, he doesn't want to go outside the stadium. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. I guess I went back in time a year.
And also add to Alicia being the sensitive badassery and then turning tides in this season.
You had one more thing, it looks like.
We can totally take it out. I didn't know if this had any significance. The antlers or whatever on Dwight's car.
Well, you know, that.
Oh, is that what you're referring to?
That is anti-zombie. You know, that's fortifying your vehicle with Sam. I don't know, but that's
I saw it and the way they shot it, I didn't know if that was a callback, so that's why I put it in there, because I didn't know if you guys might be like, oh yeah, blah blah blah.
I don't know if it is, but
Actually, I thought you were referencing Dwight peeing over the garden.
No, it's the antlers.
Anyway, I don't think you should take it out. I would leave it in. So we'll put it in the blog post.
And just say it's
– yeah. Kyle has a picture of the what looks like a Dodge Dakota or something like that with antlers on it that Dwight is driving. And
and he's peeing.
And he's peeing.
That's not the point. it was
the antlers. I did notice the antlers too, though. All right. So this guy, I think his name may have been mentioned somewhere either in IMDb or the captions. So I imagine that he is going to come back in at some point, and we did not get his name that I picked up in the credits, but it is mentioned on IMDb, the character that, ambushed, Dwight. His name is Raleigh, played by Corey Hart. No relation. it's Corey without the E, but, I would say he should never surrender. And don't wear your sunglasses at night.
At night.
Anyway, to that, I don't think this is a good guy. I don't think this is a redeemable guy. And that's why I think that he's going to be a character that Dwight is going to regret setting free, because he used the word that I think in this day and age is reprehensible to use. Obviously, things weren't as woke as they are today, which, by the way, is a word that I never even heard of a year ago. Snatch. I even cringed when I heard him say that. That is a despicable term. Mm-hmm. For a body part, and it's also used for a lot of times when it comes to, a girlfriend or women or something. That is reprehensible. It just literally, I cringed when I heard that word. And that makes me think this is not a good guy. This is not a redeemable guy. This is not a guy that's going to turn around after being set free and become a good guy. He's going to decide not to be the good guy. And I think that was the use of it. And then I almost used the word because Dwight and Morgan, I think, are both dealing with the – okay, I'm not going to say the word.
No, he's at work.
But I think that is part of what, he's definitely still dealing with mourning his wife. But it's more with Morgan. I think a lot of it has to do – I mentioned it before, the death of Dwayne and how he dies at the hands of Jenny because of his negligence for not killing the, zombified Jenny, that because of that, Dwayne died because, she bit him. So, and sorry if that, is a spoiler, but it was years ago. So
yeah.
You should know by now. Yeah. I like the Calliope title card, and I had to when he talked about redirecting, Morgan did in that conversation with Dwight, and I really got to go back to see if he actually did call him Dwayne, because I didn't pick that up. Anyway, remind me of Eastman, of course.
Yeah,
and it made me think, Dwight overtook that guy pretty easily. Raleigh did not, it didn't take much for him to get distracted. mm-hmm. The note that Raleigh burned from Sherry, I'm reminded, has Dwight seen one of those trees himself yet? Like, we know Alicia has, but I was trying to remember.
Yeah,
in the first half. Okay.
They saw it before the nuclear plant exploded. Like, they were on the road and they came across it.
That's right. Yeah. I was thinking that they did, but I hadn't gone back to watch to see. So if that Sherry, I mentioned this last week, you would think that he would recognize that it's her writing. We got another term for walkers in this episode, stumblers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I got a kick out of how he said, I hope it didn't cause you any headache. And they're like, oh no. Kind of did. All right. So that's it for this episode. So let's move on in what little I have for news, ratings, and info.
What the hell is happening?
I have no idea.
I need to turn that one up. All right. Well, all I was able to get was ratings. So Fear the Walking Dead, season 5, episode 10, 210 words per minute, did not get 210 million viewers. It got a 0.38 in the 18 to 49 coveted demographic that I no longer belong to, with 1.368 million viewers. By the way, that's not recent. People. That is even with last week's 0.38, but it is slightly lower at last week's 1.402 billion. So pretty even, but slightly down. And that was the only thing I was able to pull for news this week or info about the episode. If I did miss something in the news, sorry about that. I'll try to get it for next week. But Kyle, mm-hmm. Why don't you tell people how to get in contact with us in our ever-changing method of contacting us?
All right. To interact with us, we want to encourage you to follow us on Twitter, and you can find us the handle at WalkingDeadGSM. For feedback, to submit your theories and feedback, most people post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group, and then you can find us at facebook.com/groups/WalkingDeadGSM. And we'd like to encourage you to use our email address, and that's at walkingdeadtalkthrough@gmail.com.
And yes, that is new. If you send it to walkingdeadgsm@gmail.com, you will still get it to us. But walkingdeadtalkthrough@gmail.com is our new email address.
And our new feedback form is at talkthroughmedia.com/feedback. And you can also call 216-236-5449 to leave your voicemail for your comments for the next episodes.
Temporarily.
Yes. Time being at this recording and the time you hear this. All right. Well, the deadline for our next episode is set for a regular day and time. At 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, Tuesday, August 27th. And we also have our Facebook page for our network at facebook.com/talkthroughmedia. So definitely hit us up there.
Yes, and that's brand new. So if you're a longtime member, you may see on our Facebook group that it now says Talk Through Media, a group by Talk Through Media. So, yeah. So that is also a place that you can leave us reviews. So leave us a review. That would be great. And the best way to support us, though, is you can still subscribe to us. Pretty much it looks like the feeds have switched over. I didn't see any major issue with that. So if you subscribe to us, you should still be getting our new episodes. So subscribe to us at Apple Podcasts or the podcast client of choice. And if you have a podcast client where you can leave a rating or review like Apple Podcasts, please do so. Also Stitcher, and there's a few others. Podcast Podcast Republic, I think. That also has it. So, yeah. So StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast.com also is pointing to the new website, and Facebook.com/group/StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast. And I mentioned it last week, but Ruthie and I, for that podcast, have a new Patreon that we've started at. That is at patreon.com/Brian and Ruthie. And this podcast will be getting a Patreon in the next week or two. Sooner. Yes. Certain people that are on this podcast have committed to it. So.
Yes, we have.
So I say it to force it.
Yes.
Because I've got kind of guy. And, Ruthie and I are working on the Star Trek Picard cast. That's what it's going to be called. That's the official name, the Star Trek Picard cast. Don't you dare take it away from us. But of course, I've got StarTrekPicard.com, the best website domain name for a show called Star Trek Picard in the history of mankind. And anyway, so we hope to have our first episode out within the next month. We're currently trying to get our artwork and music together, and then we will start in earnest talking about what will be the most awesomest show in the history.
Very looking forward to it.
So the Star Trek Picard cast is coming soon, and Ruthie and I are working on artwork and music, and hopefully in the next month or so, we will have all of that together and do our first episode, and we'll let you know when that's ready. Mark?
Awesome. Well, you could listen to me and Steve Brown. We're on Panels to Pixels podcast on the Next Level Podcast Network Radio. We're currently in the middle of, or this week we're actually doing, what, the fourth or fifth episode? I can't recall, of Preacher. So we're having a really good time of this. We really dove deep into this and are having a lot of fun just laughing about it and all the weird stuff that goes on in that show. We're hoping that Brian could come and join us. But, yeah, we're in the middle of doing that at this point. We're just going to finish out the season and we're having a great time. If you guys want to come on over, throw some feedback. I've been throwing in a live feed so that people could leave comments or their overall comments on that episode, and we'll read them just like we do here.
Nice.
Yeah. And maybe we should just set a date and time for me to come on, and I'll just use that to get myself caught up.
Sure.
Nice.
All right. So for our next episode, it's season 5, episode 11. You're Still Here. Written and directed by We Don't Know. I don't know who's written or directed it, although we might be able to find that information. I just don't have it here, but I do have the description, which is, as Alicia struggles to find her new role in the convoy, she's drawn to mysterious artwork. Gee, I wonder what that artwork is. A simple scouting trip is derailed when she and Strand are thrust into a conflict between desperate survivors. Morgan and Al hit a roadblock. And we did get one comment that I put in here from LT from NC. He says, my biggest helping of What Sauce is wondering where we're going next week based off the close and teaser. Yep. All right. So until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And I'm Mark.
And this is Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.